Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. There's Dennis right there. There she goes. Are you there, Dennis?
I am.
All right. So that's Dennis. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And also, we have some guests coming on. We have Nick DeLone. He's a tech expert from Consumer Reports. He'll be coming on at 10:05 to talk about the fact that Consumer Reports is a little cranky about this whole forced obsolescence of Windows 10.
They are cranky?
They're one
of
the many.
I'm cranky. You're cranky. Yes. Everybody's cranky.
And they'll be talking about what's going on with Microsoft and why maybe they shouldn't be doing what they're doing in retiring the operating system or forcing folks to either upgrade or no longer get security updates. And then we're going to talk with Associate Professor Ron Hira of Howard University. He's also a contributor to the Economic Policy Institute. We're going to talk about the H-1B visa situation and then the administration's desire to add a $100,000 fee to requesting an H-1B visa applicant to be part of your company, which I wholeheartedly support. You make it $200,000 as far as I'm concerned, because I would contend H-1B visas have harmed the American tech industry irreparably, forcing folks to literally train their replacements that supposedly the company couldn't find at the normal price, but they seem to train the replacement to take their jobs. And of course, why would you get into the IT field if you're going to be doing that? Why would you spend $150,000 on a education, whether it be a undergraduate or graduate degree, only to know that down the line, somebody from the third world is going to come in and do your job at a third of the cost. And how are you going to follow the American dream? So we'll talk about that with Professor Hira at 10:30. So definitely want to get your calls in early this morning. Also want to thank all you guys for being part of our e-cycling event. We collected more than 4,000 pounds of e-waste.
Wow!
Yeah. Woo. It's our third annual, and we did very well. And we want to thank you guys for keeping 4,000 pounds of e-waste out of the landfills. Our partner Environmental Office Solutions made it easy for you. You just drove up, and they got it out of your car, put it into a box, and we took care of it. So we're going to do probably some more. We're going to probably look for doing one in the springtime as well as the fall. It went so well. And maybe on this side of the river rather than on the other side.
Right.
And I do want to thank the town of East Hartford for unblocking the road that we need to actually function as a business for that little Saturday. It was nice of them to do that. It's blocked off again. So, you know, you ever felt when someone doesn't want you, like, you know, is it us or is it them? You know, when they block off your road to do commerce, maybe, I don't know. Maybe they just don't want us. So in tech news, you have anything you want to bring up there, Dennis?
I do.
What do you got?
We have a number of exploits that have emerged just in the last few
days.
Yeah. With one of my favorite companies. And I'm not talking about Microsoft or Apple.
Right.
I'm talking about Cisco.
Yes.
Now, this is a company that most of our listeners don't actually deal with too much.
No, but they probably have it in their 401k and they've invested heavily.
Correct. They've invested in it in their, you know, in their pension plans and all of that. The other thing is it powers the tech industry, just worldwide.
Yeah.
Cisco switches, routers, other kinds of firewalls. Networking devices are ubiquitous. They are everywhere.
Yep.
And a number of exploits have been revealed, just like, as I said, in the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already been exploited by bad actors. So Cisco's going to have to roll out a lot of updates to a lot of their products. One of them is in what Cisco calls iOS, which is their networking operating system
mm-hmm.
that is embedded in literally millions of their devices.
Mm-hmm.
So that exploit alone is all over the place right now. And I'm sure that a lot of networking guys at a lot of different corporations are working overtime to update those things.
Right.
Because, as I said, Cisco's got to get the fixes released. But it's a major problem. And that's part of the issue, is that when you have one company that so dominates, you know, its own product world, as it were, all it takes is one exploit. And a lot of stuff becomes vulnerable.
Yeah, SonicWall, similar issue in the recent weeks, multiple issues where they had the similar vulnerabilities, along with vulnerabilities where their portal was accessed.
Yeah, right.
So that's another security company that needs to get their act together.
And a couple of months ago, actually several times over the past year, if I remember right, Fortinet.
Mm-hmm.
They are also a ubiquitous router/switching company.
Right.
They've had a number of exploits get revealed too.
And the reason this is really important is your firewall or your security appliance is, think of it as, I always describe it as, the deadbolt on your office, right? Basically, it's your front door lock of the entire IT system behind it. And if there's exploits or problems with those firewalls and you have to now scramble to patch them, it's like having your front door unlocked. And it drives us all nuts in the IT world. That's why you need more than just a firewall. You need multiple layers to the security onion, whether it be web defense, right? You want to filter your internet so your people aren't finding themselves in a dark alley of the internet. You want to have email defense so they're not receiving attachments that could be exploited. You want EDR technology that's going to actually lock down and monitor any kind of lateral movement that occurs on your computers if they get past that firewall, if they get mm-hmm. past the deadbolt. You want to see them walking around the office, and we want to see them digitally walking around from machine to machine so we can stop them from doing that. MDR technology, which is going to be an active service, is going to actually lock down your systems because they have humans that are saying, hey, alert, someone's in the building. Electronically, let's lock it down. You want to have immutable backups. You want to make sure you get vulnerability scanning happening so you're updating and patching all your software, because these software companies have constant massive holes in their stuff all the time. And now with AI, you can actually, not only can you be a script kiddie, but you can have the AI do the work for you to find the vulnerabilities for you to go exploit.
Right. The AI is actually working in real time, going after your company.
Right. It used to be just some guy, you know, in the third world with nothing but time on his hands. Now with the AIs leveraging the technology and of course, big data centers, Amazon, Google are being leveraged by the bad guys to go ahead and attack us.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what we're doing, Dennis, but we're not really smart about it. Speaking of not smart about it, I brought this up on Tech Tuesday. I thought this was pretty funny to bring up with you guys. Data centers in Mexico. So somebody thought it was a good idea to put up some data centers in Mexico, and it's in their large industrial area of Mexico. And that's fine, right?
Hey, sure, why not, right?
Dude, the problem is Mexico doesn't know how electricity works in the same way we don't know how it works here in Connecticut. And basically, in Mexico, they ended up having to run the data centers on gas generators, gasoline-powered generators. That can't be a good way to power your data centers. It just can't be a great way to stay green. I know Microsoft thinks they're a green company, but you're going to have to plant a lot of trees to make up for that.
Well, remember that gasoline is relatively expensive in terms of the energy it provides,
mm-hmm.
just as a commodity.
Right.
Plus, you have to truck it in.
Right.
You can't, like, tap into a pipeline of it. the way you could with natural gas or something like that.
Right. So there's that going on. And on top of that, those data centers in Mexico, this is in the middle of a desert, are consuming 40 million liters of water. So I used to joke about, you know, the fact that Corona and Modelo in that town where they're making that beer is literally going dry because they're running out of water because they got to make a lot of beer. Now the data centers are going to make your people run out of water. So 40 million liters of water here in the state of Connecticut. I heard just recently that our governor is going to start looking at nuclear energy. I can't say it with the extra U. My daughter-in-law is already yelling at me all the time. Nuclear energy. And I heard him in a soundbite say, we're just getting started. Hey, buddy, we've had a problem for quite a long time. Don't tell everybody you're just getting started. You should have been doing this. We should have been looking at this 20 years ago.
Well, as a matter of fact, Connecticut at one time had most of its power nuclear generated.
Right.
But we retired, two of the nuclear power plants. Yeah, yeah. Why did we do that?
Well, because we want to be green, Dennis, and that's a very dangerous way, I guess, to get power. That's what they're saying. Now, all of a sudden, we want to be the data center mecca, but somebody said, hey guys, have you seen your electric bills? And we don't know how electricity works, so clearly we need to do something about that, or we're going to have generators. So here's the other thing that's going to happen. It's already happening. I don't have the story in front of me, but I actually talked about this when we had Peter Kelly Detweiler on. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, I got a feeling these data center companies are just going to circumvent dealing with the grids because you guys don't know what you're doing in government to get this stuff ready. You don't plan more than 2 seconds ahead of you. So these data center companies are just going to build their own natural gas generation, which is happening. So basically, if you want to actually invest in something, it's going to make you a lot of money, I think. This is just to me. Don't take this as your actual advice. But these companies are actually, I think BlackRock just invested a ton of money in these power generation folks who are going to actually be plugging in their own generators, because you can get a permit for a gas-powered generator in like 5 minutes compared to any other type of generation. And they're just going to circumvent you guys in government, which is great. The more competition we have in energy generation, yeah, and they can then sell it back on the grid, as long as you make sure they sell it back on the grid for less than the Eversource of the world, we all can benefit as humans in society.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're just going to get around you. This is what IT has done forever. You guys are just catching up to this fact as usual. And we'll see what happens in Connecticut. But I wouldn't hold your breath for any kind of nuclear power plant anytime soon. According to the governor, we're just getting started.
Just getting started.
Even though
we've had nuclear power for decades.
Correct.
Yeah. And okay.
Just trying to solve this
makes
problem.
Perfect sense. Perfect somewhere. Sense.
It does. So stick around, guys. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we have till about 10 o'clock. And then we have a couple guests coming on. Consumer Reports will be coming on. And we'll be talking H-1B visas. And we'll see how that all goes after 10 o'clock. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and I made an error. They're not powering the generators in Mexico with gasoline. It is natural gas, Dennis. You are correct. It is still silly.
It is.
But it is not gasoline. I misread that very quickly, and it is on me, my fault. I apologize for the error, and we'll still put the story up there for you to read yourself. And it is something that's going to be a big deal. These data centers are just going to circumvent the grid and build their own generation and that'll be it. And we might all be better off for it. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Sheila in West Hartford. What's happening, Sheila?
Good morning. I have a question about e-signatures, how safe they are. Recently, I tried to sign up for Go NetSpeed, and it required me to sign an e-signature document that they emailed to me, and I didn't want to do that. I asked if they could send me a paper copy, and he said yes, but it never arrived. So I just wondered if I'm wrong in being fearful of e-signatures.
Yeah, I would think you're being a little overly fearful because, you know, I just sold a car on Carvana, and they wanted an e-signature. And the e-signature is not even my signature. It's a, hey, would you like us to come up with one for you kind of signature?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, sure, because I don't want to put my finger on my phone and try to, you know, sign it away. And so they just pre-filled with what they thought would be it's a beautifully legible signature. You can't usually read my signature, but they did a fine job. So I wouldn't be afraid of it, Sheila. It's literally like you're making your mark, right?
That's what I was wondering. Can you just like scribble? You know, it doesn't have to be your real signature because many people actually can't do cursive anymore.
I can't.
it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
To be honest with you, it's just it's just a swiggle on a screen, and it's encrypted,
right?
And it's hashed in a particular way, and it's retained as proof that you agreed to something, which is the real point. So, how you do it, I mean, it doesn't.
It's connected to your IP address. You're going to find you really cannot have a VPN running when you try to do these things because they want to attach an IP address, which is where you are located, to that signature to again offer more proof. The signature is one thing, right? But you're going to buy a service. So when they then come out and install the service, if it wasn't something you wanted, you'd be like, hey, get out of here. Who signed for this, right? Mm-hmm. But they're going to install it because you wanted it. And then you're going to be paying for it, which is another indication that you wanted it. So all it is just saying, they want to know you read the terms of whatever agreement they've sent to you. Uh-huh. And by making your mark, you're doing that. So I would not be afraid of your e-signature.
I see. Is there a local office for GoNet Speed, any place where you can actually walk in and do this transaction?
I don't know. I don't know. No one's ever asked that question. You should be able to look it up. But I really don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's safe to do the e-signature.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm really anxious to start the GoNet Speed.
You should. Yeah, you'll be running faster for a lot less money.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Sheila. So, that's nothing to be afraid of. Let's move on try to get another call in here. Who's been on the longest? Peter in Farmington. Next, what's happening, Peter?
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Sure.
I have a problem with pop-ups on my laptop. They keep telling me I have between 3 and 7 viruses, and that my McAfee isn't working. Well, it doesn't expire until February. My Norton doesn't work. I've never had Norton. And so I ran a scan, a full scan, and my McAfee tells me I have no problem whatsoever.
Right.
Right.
So what do I do now?
Okay, what you got to do, I'm not 100% sure, but my guess here is that you've got some notifications that are coming in from some strange website in your browser. And those are being put on the screen. Are these showing up at the lower right of your screen?
Yes, they are.
Okay, that's what these are.
Yeah.
And what I would do is I would go into your browser, whichever one you use, whether it's Chrome or Edge or Firefox or whatever.
Right.
I would go into the settings for that. I would look in the notification settings, and we're going to post an article about how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what you'll see is somewhere in the list of sites that can give you notifications, you're going to see some weird domain name.
Right.
It's not going to make a whole lot of sense. You're not going to recognize it. It's not facebook.com or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is the site that is throwing the notifications. As a matter of fact, if you look very, very closely at these little notification windows that come up in the lower right, you may actually see that domain name. It will be in very small letters near the bottom of that box.
Right.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay. You look for that notification setting in the notifications list, and you remove it.
Now, Peter, this is a scam. So they were hoping you would call the number that's part of that notification. They were hoping you would click on something within that notification. This is a scam. The only reason you got it is because you're probably not using OpenDNS to keep you safer from surfing. Most likely, if you had OpenDNS running, that notification wouldn't show up because, again, as Dennis mentioned, it's a domain, and it's a malicious domain. And if you had OpenDNS running, guess what wouldn't be displayed to you? Malicious domains. So if you can configure OpenDNS after we show you how to remove this, you will likely not have this issue.
Okay.
All right, Peter?
Good.
All right, so we'll put a link up there for you to give you some insights to this, but it is a scam.
Yeah, I've got an article here from ESET that goes over all the major browsers and how to do that.
All right, very good. All right, Peter. We're going to give you some homework.
Good. I thank you very much.
Our pleasure. All right. So that'll be something to be aware of. Any kind of pop-up like that, assume it's a scam. Always assume it's a scam. And do what Peter did. At least run your tool that you're paying for to see if you're in good
yeah,
shape. That was smart. But otherwise, configure OpenDNS and the scam won't be displayed to you. We're going to step out for a quick break. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Classic. We are back.
Beautiful.
I remember those days, Dennis.
I do.
I was never good at pinball, were you?
Not really.
No.
Nah, I played it for a while, but not that good.
We're going to be here till 11 o'clock and taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And we have a couple of guests coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. We'll be talking about the Windows 10 forced obsolescence that Consumer Reports is a little cranky about. And we'll be talking about H-1B visas with Ron Hira from the Economic Policy Institute. He's also an associate professor of Howard University who's talked about this quite a bit. We'll get his perspective. But let's get to your calls first. Let's go to Ron in New Britain first. What's happening, Ron?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing okay. How are you?
Pretty good. Two questions I have, maybe three. The fact is that I have an old computer that it used to be a Windows 8, and I was allowed to change it over to a 10, and I purchased that computer, I think, close to 10 years ago, and it's a desktop. I enjoy it because I have a big screen, but now I notice that it's at a snail's pace. So I was going to ask for your opinion. I was thinking of buying one of those renewed Windows 11 that they sell and make sure it's an HP so I can transfer whatever necessary from one to the other. I hope it won't be that difficult. And the fact is it's going real slow. So I guess it has a lot to do with this changeover from the 10 to 11.
No, it has to do with its age. As we get older, Ron, we tend to slow down. But no, it's probably running an old spinny drive, 10-year-old system, and Microsoft doesn't write their software to run more efficiently. They just assume you're going to throw more hardware at it, more technology, more processing capability. So a 10-year-old machine, while it had beautiful power and technology back 10 years ago, it doesn't anymore. And it also depends on what you started with. You know, if it was like an i3, I mean, I can't remember if it had been i3s existed 10 years ago now.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really as power anywhere near what it would be these days. So refurbished computers kind of put you back further, though, Ron. So if you buy a refurbished machine, it could already have 3 to 5 years of service already under its belt. And you may not be really getting that much in savings.
Really?
Yeah, I would tell you to consider a newer machine or a new one in general that will give you another decade of usage rather than a refurbished one that's already got 4 or 5 years under its belt that may only give you 3 or 4 years of service. So if you could save up a few more dollars and get the newer machine, I think it would do you better in the long run.
Okay, and obviously try to get an HP, right? Because it's easier to transfer from one HP to the other.
No, I don't know about that.
Any Windows machine you can transfer to any other Windows machine.
Yeah, so you can pick a different brand, Lenovo, Dell, whatever brand you want, whatever you find a good deal that has enough horsepower. Right. And so it doesn't have to be the brand to brand. The brands don't care, like Dennis said. It's the operating systems.
They have some supposedly renewed that are, you know, they sound like they're computers that weren't that old. They were probably like 3 or 4 years old. Would that be too old?
Is it a laptop or a regular desktop?
No, I'm gonna try and purchase a desktop so that I can use the large screen that I have in our home.
Yeah.
We have laptops. I purchased a Windows 11, 6. Oh, and I'm gonna get the 16 gigabytes RAM with one terabyte. That would be the wise thing to do, right? Not the 32.
32 is probably more than you need. 16 is good. Okay. 1 terabyte solid state drive. But again, 3 to 4 years, 3 to 4 years means it may only have, let's say, 4 years left. And if the price is only a few $100 difference, because they shouldn't be that much different in price. We haven't seen it's like used cars these days. They're almost as expensive as new cars.
In my experience, the price difference is never more than about $150.
Yeah. So look at the new market, just so you at least have made a good decision there, Ron.
Okay.
But the brand doesn't matter when it comes to transferring of data.
Okay.
All right.
I thank you so much, and I appreciate your show, and I appreciate your courtesy. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too, sir.
You too.
Okay, bye.
All right. We appreciate him. Let's go on to Tom in Harwinton. What's going on, Tom?
Hi, guys.
How are you?
So, I'm hanging in there.
You sound exacerbated. What's going on?
Yeah, it's been a rough week. So on Monday, I brought my computer into the shop that I bought it from 6 years ago. They made internal changes, added a new SSD drive. The other one was 6 years old. And I got a new monitor, and it's taken me 3 days, a few hours every day to get things looking the way I want them. And pretty much, I'm back to where I used to be. However, I got one problem, and it's the snipping tool. And earlier today, I just spent a half an hour fooling around, and I figured out a way to get what I want, but it's 7 steps. And this is insane. I used to be able to do this in 2 steps in Windows 10.
Hmm.
What I'm trying to do, and I know how to take a snip. That's not a problem. When I take a snip, when I used to take a snip, there was a menu on the top with drop downs, and I could click on pen, and I could change the color of the pen ink, and I could circle or point to things in the snip.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to do that in Windows 11. It's a 7-step process. There's got to be an easier, and I wrote it all down so I can tell you exactly what I'm doing, but there's got to be an easier way to do this.
You're looking for what they call the classic snipping tool as opposed to the one that was built into Windows 11.
All right.
And there are ways to install it. We'll post an article on that.
Yeah, because new one's got all sorts of features. We can also point you to some videos that'll train you on how to use the new 7-step program, Tom.
That sounds exciting.
This is the nature of IT. You always think it's supposed to improve your life, but then it slows you back down again. So we'll find the classic one for you so you can just throw the new one away. And though, I bet you there is some training that you could take that might get you back to your 2 steps. It may just be that you're not necessarily using it the way the new system intends you to use it. And this is just a classic issue when it comes to changing software. You know,
so is this an extension that I get at the Chrome store? Or
No. What you're going to do, I'm looking at the article now. It actually has you restore the original app from the computer the way you had it.
I can't do that. I don't have the old computer. This is the old computer with new guts in it.
Okay.
Might be harder
then. All right. Let me find another article, because I know that I've done this before, but it was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
For a client, and I can't remember exactly how I went about it when I did it.
But same problem.
But I do know that pretty much the same complaint. It takes more steps to do what they used to be able to do.
Right.
And I was able to get it to go back. So let me take a look at that for you. Okay.
can I bounce one more thing off you? I think I'm not 100% sure. I thought I saw in the Google store, I think it's called, that there was an extension for the snipping tool.
It's possible.
I mean, is that safe to use?
You can get extensions in browsers that allow you to snip inside the website. Mm-hmm. It uses the browser's own rendering engine to generate the screenshot. And in a lot of cases, that's going to be better because it can generate a full graphic of the entire page without having to scroll down and take multiple screenshots using the snipping tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
But how do I know it's safe to download that extension?
Depends on the author of the extension is where you'd start. That's where I always start. Who's providing this?
There is one that I use that's called Fireshot, and I've been using it for years. And I can post the link to that. And you can trust that particular product.
And that's an extension?
It's an extension for all different browsers, whether it's Edge or Chrome or Firefox.
Will it disable the snipping tool that I currently have?
No, it's an addition.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be a toolbar button inside the browser that you click on, and then it allows you to generate the screenshot inside the website.
Fireshot.
It's called Fireshot.
Dennis has got a plethora of tools and utilities he uses I've never heard of, but I trust him.
Does it let me take rectangular snips or freeform snips?
It does. It does.
All right,
freeform.
So it works the same as the snipping tool.
It works the same as the snipping tool, but it's inside the website. And again, it would allow you to generate a complete screenshot of the entire website, even if it's like a long one that you have to scroll down through.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using the
snipping
tool
in
Windows, you can only capture what happens to be on your screen at the moment.
It's so frustrating.
And this is just more versatile if you're working with websites.
Which most likely that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I would think that you're doing that a lot. So
No. What I'm doing is I'm taking a picture of something on the screen and I just want part of the picture.
This will still capture a box, but it works inside the browser. That's all.
Yeah. I understand about the entire article in the website. Yeah, because like you said, you can only snip what's on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Tom.
So you're going to post that to the...
Yep. Yeah, we'll post the link to it. And whichever browser you use, the website will tell you how to get it.
All right. Thank you.
You got it, Tom. ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works. That's where you'll find your link. And thank you very much. So we're going to be here until 11. And at 10 o'clock, we have a couple of guests. We'll be talking to Consumer Reports, who put out kind of a scathing report about Microsoft and how they are ending support for Windows 10 on October 14th. So if you haven't updated to Windows 11 by October 14th, you will no longer get your security updates that would be coming down to protect your Windows 10 system. Now, Microsoft, I have this article, the EU forced Microsoft in the 11th hour, as usual, that Microsoft will give consumers in the European Union no strings extended support for Windows 10. So they're not going to force them to pay. They're not going to force them to configure an account and send their data off-site. They're going to say, okay, EU, we won't make you do it. Now, here in America, they also are trying to offer some little way around the $31 consumer level of extending the support if you wanted to stay with Windows 10. Microsoft will say you don't have to pay that if, and here's the creepy part, if you use their OneDrive backup to send your data there.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, so they just want your data.
They want my data.
They want your data, Dennis. So versus giving them $31, they'll waive it for you because they want your data. Huh. That's odd.
Yeah. Once again, you are the commodity.
I would think.
And they are buying you.
I would think.
to be honest.
This makes no sense to me as to why they would want your data, considering if you're in Mexico, they've got data, you know, generators powering up their data centers where they will store your data that you didn't want to give them anyways. So we'll talk to Consumer Reports. It looks like the European Union is able to deal with this Maybe America will too eventually, and none of us will have to pay any kind of blood money to keeping our systems updated with security patches. We're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11. A couple guests coming up at 10 o'clock. So calls will be more difficult. But we'll take your calls if you want to get online between now and 10. As we wait for your calls, I know Dennis has an article he wants to bring up.
Oh, yeah. There's a company, Anker, A-N-K-E-R.
Yeah.
They issued a recall on a bunch of their power banks. We have an article to the on the Consumer Product Safety Commission website about it.
Yep.
But they are a very popular maker of chargers, power banks, batteries, stuff like that. And they're
risk of fire problem.
Yeah. And you know, they're a decent company, and I bought their products.
Yeah.
But they've had to issue a recall on these, and we thought, you know, there might be some people out there that have got them. And you want to know.
Definitely. And we've talked about this in the past, too. They've had a couple other, from my recollection.
They have. Yeah. And to their credit, they seem to be a little bit more willing than a lot of other manufacturers to do things like have these recalls.
Yeah.
So, you know, on the one hand, it's good. And on the one hand, it's bad. So.
All right. Well, that's good to know. If you take a look, if you have a Anker power bank in your drawer somewhere. Other news I want to bring up to you guys, software as a service, SaaS, as it were. Basically, that's Microsoft 365, Teams, Slack. It can be your voice over IP phone system. Anything you're paying for or you're renting in the cloud is software as a service. You're renting Word and Excel from Microsoft. You're no longer owning it. And in the case of Slack, there is a nonprofit organization called the Hacking Club. Sorry, it's called the Hack Club. And basically, it helps teach kids how to code. We can discuss whether or not that has any value at all, but we'll just skip that. They basically were using Slack and happily using it for free because they were a nonprofit and they are given it the access to it by Slack, which is what these IT companies do, right? They get you hooked on it.
Yeah.
And then you integrate it and you start using it. And then they say, well, you know what? Can you pay us? We're an IT company. We need to survive. And I agree. They should be paid for their services. And they were happy about a few years ago. They were transitioned from the free plan, the nonprofit free plan, to paying $5,000 a year. All right, fine.
Okay.
So the Hack Club's going to have to raise money.
Right. And they probably got a little bit better features for that money, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not even sure about that.
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't know.
And Tuesday of last week, they were given a bill. Slack reached out to the Hack Club and said if they don't agree to pay an extra $50,000 this week.
50?
Yep.
That's 10 times what they were paying
a year.
And
$200,000 a year, they will deactivate the Slack workspace and delete all their message history. This is exactly what this very
you know
nice...
What, you know what that sounds like before you go any further?
Yes, sir.
That sounds like ransomware
does
to
it?
Me.
Does it feel that way to you, Dennis?
Yeah.
Sure, me too.
All right, well, continue.
Well, there's not much to continue because that's the crux of the story. This is exactly what we worry about in the cloud. Not only all the other things about the cloud as far as security and breaches and all the problems that are there, but I always joke about the water department. If you don't pay your water bill, what happens, Dennis? they turn it off, right? And they do it quite brutally. They'll pull up in front of your house, they'll pop open that little blue box, and they'll go and turn it right off. Uh-huh. And if you'd like some water, Dennis, it's what you must do.
You have to pay up.
Right. Unless you're in Connecticut with electricity, that's a whole other issue. So we go back to this issue here. And here's giving people a week to migrate your entire system to something else, or they will delete it unless you pay $50,000 right then, and $200,000 a year is gross. But it shouldn't be surprising to anybody. These companies are not our friends. They are not.
They're not.
They're not out there to help you. They're out there to make money. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. I have no problem with that.
Right.
But this type of approach, pay us in a week or we delete your stuff by an actual formal company called Slack. I'll put the link up here for you guys. This is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the same thing across the entire IT field. There's nobody out there hoping to help you.
Right.
They want to get you hooked, and then they want to make you pay.
Now, what a lot of people may not know is that Slack is actually owned by Salesforce, which is a major software as a service company. They have a lot of other products, including one called Salesforce, which is another ubiquitous product used around the world,
which we've had in the news about their
They had some hacking problems too.
$230 billion going after this tiny nonprofit. All I can tell you is we're all next, right? So the more you stick in the cloud out of your purview, the more you lack control over your destiny.
Right.
So if you have it's not because we install servers. We install servers for our clients, okay? Yes, we do. I didn't write the article. Slack did. They're the ones that said to their customer, we're going to take your data and delete it if you don't pay us $50,000. I didn't do that. They did. So yes, if you have your own local server, I can tell you this, you have your data under your control, right? You're not paying somebody else to ransom you when they say, guess what, Dennis, you know what? You were paying us $5,000. I want $10,000. Well, I don't want $10,000. Well, then we're going to delete it in a week.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. Big companies, this happens to big companies. I know some very large companies recently I was at a cocktail party. They said their software as a service went from $150,000 to almost $500,000.
No.
In 1 year. Isn't that nice?
Over three times.
Yeah, because they can.
Right.
So this is kind of what happens to you. In the old days, if you were doing your software and using it in your business, you didn't have to pay to upgrade it. You could do whatever you wanted with it. It was punching out your widgets all day long. You didn't care if it was version X or Y. As long as it had the features you needed, you paid for the software, and that was it. Maybe you paid maintenance so that the company would still exist so they could help you with problems. This is where we're at now with software as a service. I think we're going to put ourselves in a huge disadvantage as customers when everything ends up in some data center in Mexico powered by 7 generators running natural gas. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock taking your computer comments, questions, and concerns. All these stories will blow up here for you over at computertalkwithtab.com. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.